Criminals masquerading as mayors in sanctuary cities. Wherever the law ends, tyranny begins, said John Locke. It was reported by Amir Madani, a White House reporter under criminal Barack Hussein Obama's administration, that big city mayors have vowed to defy the law and the president regarding sanctuary cities harboring illegal aliens. As you may know, back in January 26th of 2017, several big city mayors across the United States vowed to defy the president's executive order that threatens to cut off federal funding to cities that offer some sort of protection to illegal immigrants in their communities. The question is, how did they approve the funding in the first place? If they can get you asking the wrong questions, America, they don't have to worry about giving you the right answers. Furthermore, the law does not protect illegal aliens, it prosecutes them. Amar continued, the pushback came from these mayors when the president signed a long-anticipated executive order that directs the government to identify federal money it can withhold to punish so-called sanctuary cities. Since when did the federal government receive delegated authority from the American people to take their tax money and to reallocate it to the cities that are harboring illegal aliens? Amar added, the president had pledged to take action against sanctuary cities on the campaign trail. But as the president announced the order, as well as action to build a wall along the United States-Mexico border and hire thousands of new Border Patrol agents and immigration officers, leaders of some of the nation's biggest cities flatly stated they would not cooperate with the president, Amar wrote. And you need to ask why. This is not the president against the mayors. This is the mayors working against American law, and the law exposes the criminal. Amar reported, in New York, Mayor Bill de Blasio vowed that the action won't change how we enforce the law in New York City, said he. De Blasio said that the city has been able to dramatically reduce the crime rate in the nation's largest city. How did he do that? In part, he said, because relationships with the police department have managed to build the immigrant communities, the report continued. He added that if the president follows through with the plan, it would mean he's effectually cutting funding from the New York Police Department. In other words, through totalitarian methods, criminal Mayor de Blasio is attempting to use the law against the law. Here you have the criminal blaming the law for his crimes. Here in New York City and cities across the nation, this executive order could in fact undermine public safety and make our neighborhoods less safe, de Blasio said. What de Blasio said was that the enforcement of law could undermine public safety? Friends, he is the one personally responsible for the undermining of the public safety in the first place. Was America told that they were under an Islamic threat after September 11, 2001? Well then, how does this statement line up with the facts? Take a look at the Muslims from the East who are plundering countries that they are entering into. For example, Denmark, 450% more crimes committed by Muslims than non-Muslims. In Germany, Muslim migrants committed 142,500 crimes in just 6 months. That's equivalent to 780 every single day. Sweden, 480,000 sexual assaults in 1 year, 77% of all rapes by less than 2% Muslim. In England and in Wales, over 56% of the Syrian refugees committed severe crimes in less than 1 year. In Belgium, 35% of prison population is Muslim, who makes up only 6% of the population. In the UK, Muslims fill 44% of high security prisons out of a 5% population. Yes, you heard me right. In the United States of America, 91.4% of Muslim refugees are on food stamps and 68.3% of the Muslim population are on cash welfare. Muslim migration has doubled in the decade since 9/11, and 60% migrants to America favor Sharia law. As a matter of fact, more illegals are coming across from the southern border. There were 68.57 illegal aliens in prison for every 100,000 illegals in Arizona, compared to the 54.06 citizens and legal non-citizens in prison for every 100,000 citizens and legal non-citizens.
Here we go.
When the church and the world can jog comfortably along together, you can be sure something is wrong. The world is not compromised. Its spirit is exactly the same as it ever was. If Christians were equally as faithful to the Lord, separated from the world, and living so that their lives were a reproof to all ungodliness, the world would hate them as much as it ever did. It is the church that is compromised, not the world. Catherine Booth, founder of the Salvation Army. And husband to Catherine Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, William Booth, he rightly stated that the chief danger that confronts the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell. Friends, prophecy fulfilled.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Christian ethic has provided the principles on which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently, rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys. And, of course, all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty you have with yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. Well, now that the administration, along with modern-day Rothschilds of Israel, have lost the narrative, we're going to go on, and I'm going to show you the horrors of war coming from them directly that were in war. And I'm just going to say that and no more. I'll play the audio videos for you in just a moment. But we're going to start the show off with Major General Smedley Butler, again, the highest decorated Marine in the history of the Marines. He said this back in 1940. He said, I served in all commissioned ranks from second lieutenant to major general. And during that period, I spent most of my time being a high-class muscle man for big business. He said two different quotes, and they're very similar. This is the second quote. He goes on and he said, I spent most of my time being a high-class muscle man for big business. Big business, friends. That's why we're warned about the military-industrial complex, which is big business, right? The profits of war off the expenditure of the blood of our boys. He goes on and says, for Wall Street, that's the first thing he named, and for the bankers who fund both sides of the wars. In short, I was a racketeer for capitalism. I suspect that I was just part of the racket all the time. He goes, now I'm absolutely sure of it. I want to go ahead and nail as much as we possibly can concerning the topic today. Because, friends, we're going to be talking about more crimes, war crimes, and testimonials. And I want to get to it, so I just want to lay the foundation as quick as possible. And I'm going to play this first, and then we're just going to do a lot of audio, video for you today. And if you want to watch it, you can on sonsoflibertymedia.com, sonsoflibertymedia.com, and or beforeitsnews.com, beforeitsnews.com. If you want to call in at any time, stick to the topic, please. Call earlier rather than later, and that number is 281-845-4704, 281-845-4704. And folks, if this is the first time listening to the sonsoflibertyradio.com, do remember that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And again, friends, why is that? Because it's a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. True that.
So I'm going to go ahead and start off with Eisenhower's speech. And again, if you didn't hear this yesterday, you're going to hear it today. And I'm just going to start firing these off, no pun intended, concerning the war crimes coming from those that were a part of committing the crime that are now repentant and they regret being part of these unconstitutional wars. Let's start off with Eisenhower first and foremost.
I come to you with a message of leave-taking and farewell.
This speech did not get very much attention. When a new president is coming to power, as John Kennedy was, the spotlight was not on Dwight Eisenhower.
We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry.
So the powers that be tried to bury what Eisenhower was divulging
to the people. Just sneaked into the speech.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
3 months ago, we got contacted by a family up in Minnesota saying that we have documents from Malcolm Moose. He was responsible, in part, for drafting the military-industrial complex speech.
These new papers give us written evidence that this was not just some caprice of Eisenhower's or something by some speechwriter.
You see the evolution of his speech from May 1959 to 1961.
And what they're covering right now, friends, is Eisenhower went off script to get this information to the American people.
Our military organization today bears little relation to that known of any of my predecessors in peacetime, or indeed by the fighting men of World War II or Korea.
There was one person in Dwight Eisenhower's life whom he really confided almost everything to, and that was his brother Milton.
There's one particular document where the speechwriters had already drafted their version of his speech, only to see Milton come along and totally revamp what had already been written.
When Milton Eisenhower was taking notes and writing things on the drafts of these speeches, the speechwriters knew that it wasn't Milton talking, it was Ike.
The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
He would see magazines with advertisements for some, you know, new war plane or some bomb, and he got so angry he'd take the magazine and throw it into the fireplace of the Oval Office because he felt that defense spending should not be something that would be encouraged by companies who are seeking commercial gain.
We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties.
Endanger our liberties,
he said.
There is
an interesting document. Huh. It shows that the farewell speech would be made to Congress. But yet, President Eisenhower decided, no, he was going to address the people.
Only an alert and knowledgeable.
So in other words, friends, this said president right here, and he wasn't perfect, Eisenhower, he was actually going off script to warn the American people, to alert the American people of the dangers of the military-industrial complex. He even talked earlier, friends, about how it doesn't look the way it's supposed to look any longer. That shows you that there was an evolution of the military-industrial complex concerning what it's responsible for doing today. This is how they make their money, friends. Again, go back and look at some of the quotes from Smedley Butler concerning war. One of the things that we can do and put in contrast is look at the president of the United States, corporate America, put that up against 1871 when they incorporated America. But look at Donald Trump, friends. He's dodged the draft over five times. His kids are now trying to find spurs in their feet so they don't have to go to war. Why? Because the people are putting websites up saying, Donald Trump, if you want a war, then send your kids first. That's what our forefathers used to do. If they thought a war was righteous, they would be the first ones to go fight that war. People are catching on, friends. And again, I started the show off highlighting the point that they've lost the narrative. They have definitely lost the narrative, friends. Furthermore, going back to Barron and Donnie Jr., that are both trying to find something wrong with their feet or their height so they don't have to serve in the military, they've both been given a green light by the said doctors that they can go ahead and serve in the military. And again, friends, we've seen this over and over. It's not just Donald Trump's administration. It's administration after administration after administration where we find the said presidents that are installed into the position that they're in to take dictates from modern-day Rothschild's Zionist Israel. It's interesting to note that they're all draft dodgers. And that's not a joke. That is a fact. Even going back to George W. Bush, who they tried to sell to you as a veteran, only to go back to his company. I seen a documentary where they took cameras and they went back to the company that George Bush claimed that he was a part of, only to find out that not a one of them ever took notice of him. Not a one of them ever knew who he was because they never seen him in the company. Folks, this is what you're dealing with. You're dealing with a system that's assailing you and your children on a daily basis. You have to stand up and deal with what's going on and quit being deceived by the same cunning individuals. We'll be right back. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Hi, I'm Trace Banks, a certified integrative health coach in Charlotte, North Carolina. In my work with clients and physicians' patients, I'm often asked profound questions about God's Word. People want to know where they can find deeper biblical teaching, truth, beyond what they're hearing in their own churches. I point them to Bradley Dean's ministry, the Sons of Liberty Radio.com show, where he challenges listeners to remain firmly rooted in God's Word while boldly standing for liberty and justice within our government. Monday through Saturday at 2 Central Time for Uncompromising Truth That Motivates Action.
BBSRadio.com.
Hey everybody, Alex Newman here, award-winning international journalist with Liberty Sentinel Media. We broke some of the critical stories exposing the COVID hoax, the lies about the injections, and so much more way before it was cool. We exposed the UN, the climate hoax, the U.S. government, and so much more, all from a biblical perspective, with a goal of bringing you all the information you need to keep your family and yourself happy, healthy, and free. Check us out at libertysentinel.org and subscribe for free at libertysentinel.org/subscribe.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Governments, like clocks, go from the motion men give them. Wherefore, governments rather depend upon men than men upon government. Let men be good, and the government cannot be bad. But if men be bad, the government will never be good. William Penn. Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. 281-845-4704. 281-845-4704 if you want to call in. Folks, if this is the first time listening to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, you know how it goes. I'm going to go ahead and play Wesley Clark. This was right after September 11th. I'm just doing a little bit of a recap so people can get caught up concerning what it is that we're highlighting. And I'm going to get to some new video audios for you. So worry not, affiliates. You'll hear them clearly concerning their regrets, concerning their partaking of the crimes and the war crimes committed against foreign countries by your said governments, who's cast into your mind, friends, that we need to go deal with another madman only to find out that the CIA put them up in the first place, just like in Iraq. Here's General Wesley Clark.
About 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the joint staff who used to work for me. And one of the generals called me and he said, "Sir, you got to come in. You got to come in and talk to me a second." I said, "Well, you're too busy." He said, "No, no." He says, we've made the decision we're going to war with Iraq. This was on or about the 20th of September.
So I want you to consider, friends, the general saying that they didn't know who to attack after September 11th. How does that jive with what the FBI did within 24 hours when they put all of the perpetrators, right, the alleged perpetrators, which 50% of the people in New York didn't believe the day of September 11th? I thought I'd remind you of that. Furthermore, 50% of the people in New York protested the government in accusing them of the two towers falling. That's why General Wesley Clark right here, friends, is saying that the government didn't know who to attack. Wait a second. That's not at all what the FBI said. Man, they had it all laid out. They knew exactly concerning who the individuals were that were responsible for bringing down the two towers, say they. Do you know how few in America believe that narrative today? And it's taken the American people 24 years to finally catch up to that, shamefully. I mean, it's really something, man, when you sit back and you look at the people and what they put up with and how they're just willing to go ahead and trust the next administration working for the same, what? Puppet masters. You put that up against Ephesians 4:14. But again, I want you to consider what General Wesley Clark is saying here. They didn't know who to attack after September 11th. I also want to remind everybody, because it was one of the things that Steve, our friend that was a part of the military, that's ashamed of and he regrets of being a part of it concerning his service in this country because he was doing the wrong things for the wrong reasons. And had he known, he would have never been a part of it. It's interesting to note that he even said that, you know, with what's going on here in the United States and how the military sells it to us is, you know, it's the CIA putting up these guys. And Rumsfeld, going back to September 11th, friends, it was our CIA that put up Saddam Hussein. And then all of a sudden we start hearing his little son chirp, and I'm talking about from the Bush regime, George Bush Jr., who started saying, I'm going to go get him because of what he's saying about my dad. No, it was time to take him down because they didn't need him anymore. Remember what John Stockton, former CIA America, said? He said the CIA is there to destabilize countries. That's, again, going back and reverting to some of the important information that you need to know in here. That's why you have 737 military bases, friends. 737 military bases in over 142 countries. Now, some will say, well, how do you add that up? I'm sorry, there's 142 countries, but we have 737 military bases set up. And again, I got a whole article on this. If you'd like to do the math on that, you'll understand perfectly as to what's going on. And furthermore, what's also interesting to know, I believe there's 162 countries to cover. So you've allowed your said administratives and your said representatives to go ahead and police the world and to militarize the world with our power dominating their countries with the help of the CIA. Now, I want you to think about that, okay? Let's listen to the rest of this going back because Wesley Clark is saying we didn't know who to attack.
I said, we're going to war with Iraq. Why? He said, I don't know. He said, I guess they don't know what else to do. So I said, well, did they find some information connecting Saddam to Al-Qaeda? He said, no.
See, no connection, friends.
That way, they just made the decision to go to war with Iraq. He said, I guess it's like we don't know what to do about terrorists, but we've got a good military and we can take down governments. And he said, I guess if the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem has to look like a nail. So I came back to see him a few weeks later, and by that time we were bombing in Afghanistan. I said, are we still going to war with Iraq? And he said, oh, it's worse than that. He said, he reached over on his desk, he picked up a piece of paper, and he said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office today, and he said, this is a memo that describes how we're going to take out seven countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran.
Okay, did you hear that, friends? So they didn't know who to attack, but they attacked anyways. And if every problem looks like a nail and you got a military that is the hammer, just think about what that means. Just think about what he's saying out loud, friends. Now, I want to also highlight this, and then we're going to get to some new stuff here. But here's George Bush, and I want you to listen to this carefully. This is him. Remember, it was his administration that drove the narrative that Iraq, just to show you how this is all played out, that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. Remember, Rumsfeld and the CIA put up Saddam Hussein, okay, until they didn't need him anymore, until they could bring forth another military campaign to take down another country and to murder their people and to destroy their countries and to steal their resources, namely oil. I want you to listen to what George Bush Jr., remember, he's the one that kept telling the people, driving the narrative along with every other outlet in the country except one, that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. Listen to what he says in response to finding out they never had them.
Bully, CNN Sunday morning, 9 Eastern.
You talked about how just sick you felt to your stomach when you found out there were no weapons.
Look at him. He's got a half smirk on his face, people.
Moment? Did someone walk in and say, we've stopped looking?
He's smiling now.
How did that happen?
It just kind of was it evolved.
I want you to consider the guy that told you that the WMDs were there and we have to take them out because if we don't, this is what they're going to do to us. It's exactly what they just did with Iran. Exactly what they just did. Folks, it's the same talking points over and over and over again. I want you to consider George W. Bush with a half smirk on his face, just completely being frivolous and careless about the 4,343 boys that we lost in Iraq and the 1 million innocent Iraqis. But they made $34.5 billion. That's why he's laughing. He's mocking the American people. And now what we're seeing and watching and listening to here is Bush being, well, not being confronted, but being sucked up to, for a better way of saying it, by none other than Communist Network News when he found out that there was no WMDs. See, folks, they do this all the time, and they're doing it again, okay? And what's happening is people are catching on, and that's why they've lost the narrative. But let's listen to the rest of this.
I mean, I was... You know, when we first got in there, started looking around and didn't find anything, you get that kind of sinking feeling that, uh-oh. And then time went on. And then we got tips, you know, I'll never forget the tip. There was crates buried.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
These are them. And they've
you get it. You understand. So, right. No big deal.
Course, George Tenet had the, you know, the inspector.
He's trying to figure out who to blame.
David Kaye.
And he's trying to think of something to excuse himself and to mock the American people and the blood that was shed. And I'll tell you how severe it is just go to Arlington Cemetery, friends, so you can see all the fresh graves. And guess what? You're going to start seeing some more again because you've allowed the said administration to do the biddings of none other than Mylakowski. Fighting their wars. And folks, guess what? Now they're coming out and admitting that's exactly what's going on. Little cokehead Marco Rubio is coming out and saying just exactly that. And if you don't mind me just kind of adding insult to injury, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over to a foreigner here, and I want you to listen to hear what he has to say, because he's confronting your government after Iraq, the Iraqi war, calling them a bunch of liars, because that's exactly who they are.
These
listen to this.
Documents existed and were being circulated amongst right-wing newspapers in Baghdad and around the world in the immediate aftermath of the fall of the Iraqi regime. Now, Senator, I gave my heart and soul to oppose the policy that you promoted. I gave my political life's blood to try to stop the mass killing of Iraqis by the sanctions on Iraq, which killed 1 million Iraqis, most of them children. Most of them died before they even knew that they were Iraqis.
Yeah, so we're going to take a quick break, friends. And then, as promised, I'm going to bring some audio from soldiers that were in the war that are going to probably surprise some of you to the degree that your said representatives have gone in the use of your boys. We'll be right back. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
So, you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and have been thinking, there are so many others who need to hear this message as well, but you just don't know how to reach them. Well then, this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. It's time to schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty. It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And together, we can make a difference in our world today.
It's Emmy-winning investigative journalist, nationally published author, and radio host Shad Olson to tell you what I think about my friend and compatriot, Bradley Dean. In the era of the podcast, big talkers are a dime a dozen or maybe even cheaper than that. Bradley Dean is a patriot who not just talks the talk, but he walks the walk each and every day.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Wisconsin Christian News is a nationally distributed, real printed newspaper that takes on the tough issues of our day, and we don't waste time with nonsense. We have some of the best red pill writers in the country, including Bradley Dean, and we tell you the truth you need to know. It's unlike anything you've seen before. Email us to get your free sample copy. Go to WisconsinChristianNews.com. Also, watch our TV program every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Central at WCNTV.net.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Mary Queen Scots said of that of the prophet John Knox in Scotland, the trumpet blast, that she feared his prayers more than all of the armies of Europe. John Knox said of himself, considering myself called of my God to instruct the ignorant, comfort the sorrowful, confirm the weak, and rebuke the proud, by tongue and lively voice in these corrupt days, rather than to compose books for the age to come, seeing that so much is written and yet so little well observed, I decree to contain myself within the bounds of that vocation whereunto I found myself especially called. What is the purpose of magistrates, our said representatives, in the halls of government? 1 Peter 2:14 tells us, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, the Lord, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and a religious people, Christian. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Human passions unbridled by morality and religion, Christianity, would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through a net. The second President of the United States of America, Mr. John Adams. I'm going to go ahead and finish this, and then I want you to go ahead and buckle up, friends, because what you're going to hear in just a moment is pretty appalling. Wanted to let you know, too, I don't know if you guys are aware of this. If your head's stuck in the sand, you probably have never heard this before, but it's been out there for public consumption for some time now. But do understand, people, that Mylakowski is not even accepted in Poland, who's, by the way, he's Polish, he's not Jewish, and he's the one that wants you to believe that he is a victim of anti-Semitism. He's not even Jewish, friends. He's from Poland, okay? His people refuse him because he's an international war criminal. And updating you now, even live, is Trump has now been labeled a wanted international war criminal by the United Nations Security Council as well. So congratulations, all of you supporters. You know, when you do the wrong thing and you transgress law, 1 John 3:4, that's what happens. And I'll tell you again, Americans, just to remind you, and I don't care if you're, you know, pro or con concerning this show, it's the truth. You, let me remind you, are hated by the world because of what you tolerate, the corrupt in your system of government to do to their countries. And don't sit there and say that that is being a traitor to the truth. No, you better be impartial. Friends, you better be, I'm sorry, not impartial, but partial in judgment. And you better be on the side of the Lord when it comes down to what's going on here. Because somehow or another, the American people are led to believe that no matter what their government does, it's always in the right. You are, hey folks, is that right? Is that right? Hey, can I ask you something? Who illegally sanctioned the murder of 80 million of your own people? Your government did. Who now says that men can be married to men and women can be married to women? Your government did. Who's going after your Second Amendment more than your government right now, friends? Who's stealing your money and then reallocating it to foreign wars on the behalf of modern-day Rothschilds Israel? Your government. You want me to keep going here, friends? Who's been found to be the drug traffickers in your country, agencies that you're corrupt in the halls of government have created? Who's assailing, who's inviting illegal aliens into this country to basically, in the act of treason, Article 3, Section 3, to create civil war more so than your said representatives? Are you starting to understand, people? Are you starting to understand the problem isn't without? The problem is that the American people are not taking responsibility for what it is that they tolerate their said representatives to do. And if you know anything about history, surely you're going to understand that the Republic of Machiavelli was completely destroyed because the people just let their politicians do whatever they wanted to do. Do whatever they wanted to do. And here we are again, all over once again. Okay? I want you to listen to the entirety of this, and then I got some phone calls I'll answer. And with that said, again, listen, it takes a foreigner to come over here to confront what the American people tolerate. I want to say this. I'm an American, and I want to say this. If I had the opportunity to do this, I'd do the same thing and more. Believe me. And I'm talking about calling them out, pulling the rug, and exposing them to the American people for the crimes that they're guilty of, regardless if they like it or not. That's called love, folks. And it's exactly why Jesus was hated in John 15. Check this out.
Forged documents existed and were being circulated amongst right-wing newspapers in Baghdad and around the world in the immediate aftermath of the fall of the Iraqi regime. Now, Senator, I gave my heart and soul to oppose the policy that you promoted. I gave my political life's blood to try to stop the mass killing of Iraqis by the sanctions on Iraq, which killed 1 million Iraqis, most of them children. Most of them died before they even knew that they were Iraqis, but they died for no other reason other than that they were
Norm
Iraqis.
Coleman won't even look at him.
Misfortune to be born at that time. I gave my heart and soul to stop you committing the disaster that you did commit in invading Iraq.
That's right.
And I told the world
you won't look at him, people,
that your case for the war was a pack of lies. I told the world that Iraq, contrary to your claims, did not
Good
have weapons of mass destruction.
They didn't.
I told the world, contrary to your claims, that Iraq had no connection to Al-Qaeda. I told the world, contrary to your claims, that Iraq had no connection to the atrocity on 9/11/2001. I told the world, contrary to your claims, that the Iraqi people would resist a British and American invasion of their country, and that the fall of Baghdad would not be the beginning of the end, but merely the end of the beginning. Senator, this is the mother of all smokescreens. You are trying to divert attention from the crimes that you supported.
That's right.
From the theft of billions of dollars of Iraq's wealth.
So folks, again, it takes a foreigner to actually acknowledge what every American knows, but they think somehow or another it's un-American to own up for what they've tolerated concerning the corruption in the halls of government. Isn't that something? I'll tell you what, folks, and you can look at this how you want to look at this, but the bottom line is it's appointed once for men to die. And these are scenarios and situations that, and again, I want to make myself clear, I'm not mincing words. You can run, but you cannot hide. And the fact of the matter is the American people are accomplices to these crimes by tolerating corruption in the halls of government. And I ask the American people, what information do you need How many times, folks, case in point, we have extorted sexual pervert Jim Jordan, put as the fox in the chicken coop, allegedly grilling treasonous pedophile Tim Walz, and the fraudster that he is, only to highlight the crimes that we've heard congressional hearing after congressional hearing come to the same resolve that he is guilty, that he's lied. But what do? They put up another congressional grilling to appease the American people, and the people let it go. No, no, further than that, friends. They don't let it. They don't just let it go. You know what they do? They're appeased by it. They love to be entertained by the crimes that are being committed against them, by the theft, by these politicians that are stealing their money up to upwards of $19 billion. They're entertained by those that are guilty of treason to have another hearing that have allured illegals into this country that mean to conquer your country. I'm sorry. Is it un-American for me to admit the truth of the matter? No, it first makes me a Christian, and it shows the world what a majority of the people in this country are unwilling to do. And I say shame on you for just letting it go. For just letting it go. You just heard that man highlight the fact that a majority of those back in Iraq, a majority of more children that didn't even know that they were Iraqis, only to steal their oil. And you know it. And what was interesting is everybody rallied behind George Bush along to another war, attacking another country that did nothing to us. Oh, folks, they want recompense. You better bet your bottom dollar they want recompense, and they're fixing to get it. And now, while they're attacking Iran, you better remember it's the same government that allured the Iranians into America that want recompense. You haven't thought that through, have you, Americans? Now, you're too entertained by watching what's going on with this current administration, because as long as he tells you what you want to hear, and you know he's doing the exact opposite, Isaiah 5:20, by judging his fruit, somehow or another, you've appeased yourself into believing that in that deceptive bubble that you've created. Not a good place to put yourself. Put Jeremiah 5:21 in front of your eyes. America, you need to repent. To say the least, you need to repent. John, Sons of Liberty Radio, welcome to the show. Thank you for calling in. And again, sorry for the delay. I noticed nobody was picking up the phone there for you, but we finally got to you. You got about 3 minutes. What say you, my friend?
Yeah, brother. I think Eisenhower was, I think you saw some remorse in his voice about the Wiesenlager camps, where they starved to death over 1.5 million German soldiers that had already surrendered and were not armed behind there. And
you are correct.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that, you know, the speech in 1959, late 1959, that was a day late and a dollar short as far as what he was responsible for. And I think you're talking about the responsibility of what we are responsible for in regards to saying that we're trying to make things better, but this nation is not.
Well, here's the thing, and again, I brought it up yesterday, John, was the fact that the scriptures, the Lord says, amend your ways. That's what the Lord said, and I'll withhold the judgment. But the people wouldn't amend their ways. That means do that which is right to his brother before the Lord. And in the process, the Lord would show mercy and withhold judgment. Americans, they call themselves believers. But the truth of the matter is, John, they don't believe. But they're going to find out what they, in a way of deceiving themselves, saying they believe but don't really believe. They're right when they say they believe, because regardless if they live a life that agrees to it or is congruent with their profession, the Lord's going to vindicate that, and he's going to have the last word by showing them, regardless if they live up to the standard of what of their profession is, he's going to judge them accordingly. Because the Bible is clear when it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Americans, you need to understand your inaction looks like hate to the Lord. And the Bible is clear in Deuteronomy 7:10 that he is not slack to repay them to their face, to those that hate him. And I'll tell you who hates him. Those that love man in the worship of man in the place of Christ. because I see it all the time. And to prove what I'm trying to clarify, making that point is how many people profess to be Christians only to see just recently Donald Trump said he never read the Bible. No, really? I mean, folks, give me a break. But what's interesting is the majority of people that say, you know, Donald never read the Bible before. Right. And I said, if they were Christians, Donald wouldn't be in office right now because they did read their Bible. Isn't that right? Oh, absolutely. They should understand what a con man looks like and what the angel of light operates, namely under the guise of being something that they're clearly not. They come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's not the Lord. That's the devil. John 10:10. We'll be right back. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com. Are you jacked yet, America? Have you had enough yet, America? Again, we'll be right back.
Nations around the world, including the U.S., are being purposely destroyed from within by their own governments. Are you tired of the lies of the politicians and communists? Wisconsin Christian News is a national newspaper that tells it like it is. We don't have time for nonsense. We publish the truth, whether it's popular or not. WisconsinChristianNews.com. Subscribe today, print or online. WisconsinChristianNews.com.
This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBS Radio.com. Martin Luther King Jr. rightly stated that I must admit, America, that I was initially disappointed in being so categorized as an extremist. But as I continued to think about the matter, I gradually gained a bit of satisfaction from being an extremist. Was not Abraham Lincoln an extremist? This nation cannot survive half slave and half free. Was not Thomas Jefferson an extremist? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. So the question is not whether we will be extremists, but what kind of an extremist we will be. We will be extremists for the preservation of injustice, or will we be extremists for the cause of justice?
Amen.
He goes on and says, history will record that the greatest tragedy of this period of social transition was not the strident clamor of the bad people, but the appalling silence of the good people. James Madison, the father of our Constitution, said, do not separate text from historical background. If you do, you will have perverted and subverted the Constitution, which can only end in a distorted, bastardized form of illegitimate government. He also stated that the future and success of America is not in this Constitution, but in the laws of God upon which this Constitution is founded. I got up on the screen right now. Trump has been labeled wanted international war criminal by the UN Security Council. Yep, and that's a reflection of what the American people tolerate. I guess, America, that's how you I guess that's how you make America great again, right? Yeah. Just keep following some little groomed scoundrel that's guilty of crimes being committed against people all over the world in the name of making America great again. And then you have these biblically illiterates posting pictures of Donald Trump being led as the commander of chief with Jesus walking behind him. I'm telling you, folks, this is blasphemy, okay? It's blasphemy. To say the least, it's blasphemy. If you want to call in, please do. I'm going to go ahead and play this piece before I pull up the next one that I see up. Craig, hang in there with me, guy. I just got to finish this because I was trying to get to this yesterday. This is a soldier named John Michael Turner. He's an Iraqi war veteran, And now we're still, oh, by the way, we're starting to hear this starting to leak through now, what just took place in Iran. We just found out that hundreds of children were murdered a couple days ago by our soldiers, again, unbeknownst to them, because the president told them. You know what? I want to say this because I honor our military, but I do want to let the people in military know that you also swore that you would uphold the enumerated laws found within the Constitution. And if you're not doing that, yes, the American people are going to stand against you as well. Do your job. And when someone tells you to do something that's unconstitutional, you as an individual are supposed to stand against them and say no. And why do I say that? Because they can't do what you don't do for them. I mean, common sense comes into play. My goodness, folks, have you ever thought about that? Look at any dictator of the past. They couldn't have did what they did without the people doing it for them. My goodness, you hear about the Nuremberg trials all day long. And you know, the fact of the matter is, history teaches us, at least this is what we've been taught, that Hitler never pulled the trigger. Well, who pulled the trigger? You understand? The people did. I mean, you got to be just, you know, see no evil and hear no evil, and you got to have your fingers on your eyeballs. And some people in this country, man, I'll tell you what, the truth that we speak here, you could be transported to the sun and you wouldn't see it because you don't want to see it. Well, guess what? Regardless if you want to see it or not, you're responsible for it and you're going to reap it sooner or later as to what you allow politicians to sow on your behalf because you're letting them do it. Check this out. John Michael Turner, Iraqi veteran. Listen carefully as to what this young man says.
Currently reside in Burlington, Vermont. I served with Kilo Company, 3rd Battalion, 8th Marines as an automatic machine gunner.
Listen carefully.
There's a term, once a Marine, always a Marine, but there's also the term, eat the apple, F the Corps. I don't work for you no more.
That was John Michael Turner stripping his medals and ribbons from his chest and throwing them into the audience to the applause of attendees at Winter Soldier. Turner then went on to describe some of his time in Iraq.
On April 18th, 2006, I had my first confirmed kill. This man was innocent. I don't know his name. I called him the Fat Man. He was walking back to his house, and I shot him in front of his friend and his father. The first round didn't kill him after I had hit him up here in his neck area. And afterwards, he started screaming and looked right into my eyes. So I looked at my friend who I was on post with, and I said, well, I can't let that happen. So I took another shot and took him out. He was then carried away by the rest of his family. It took 7 people to carry his body away.
Listen carefully.
We were all congratulated after we had our first kills.
Congratulated by military brass. After their first kill, they were all congratulated by military high brass. Okay? Listen to the next one.
My company commander personally congratulated me, as he did everyone else in our company. This is the same individual who had stated that whoever gets their first kill by stabbing them to death will get a 4-day pass when we return from Iraq.
Merited a 4-day pass, the first person in the Marines that stabs to death the first Iraqi. This is what is in fact going on in these wars that are contrived by evil, wicked men. You have an individual that is remorseful, a young man, saying, I will have no part of this anymore. And this is what I'm responsible for. And I was congratulated. I was given a 4-day pass for not only killing one Iraqi and then stabbing to death another one. So therefore, I got a 4-day pass. This is how they're incentivizing people. Is this how they're selling war to you Americans? Nope, it never is. What's the first casualty in every war? The truth. They hate the truth.
There's one incident where we got into a firefight just south of the government center, about 2,000 meters. We had no idea where the fire was coming from, and the way our rules of engagement were, pinpoint where the fire is coming from and throw a rocket at it. So with that being said, we still didn't know where the fire was coming from. And an 84 millimeter rocket was shot into a house. I do not know if there was anyone in it. We do not know if that's where the fire was coming from, but that's what was done.
This is what you were never told about war, people.
Let's go to the next image.
He's showing images during this hearing as well. As he's renouncing the military.
This man right here was my third confirmed kill.
As showing pictures see, of men that he bicycle. Killed.
This later on in the day, we went ahead and we had CBS Laura Logan with us, but she was with the other squad.
He's showing a picture of a man that was riding his bike in Iraq, and he shot him dead for absolutely no reason.
Took out some individuals because we were excited about the firefight.
Because we were excited about the firefight because they were being congratulated. They were being incentivized, Americans. This is what's going on.
Anytime we did have embedded reporters with us, our actions would change drastically.
So in other words, when people were there to see what was going on in the war, they would act accordingly until they were gone, and then they would listen to what their military high brass was telling them to do. Remember, incentivizing them to kill their Iraqis, to incentivize a four-day pass for stabbing them to death. They were so excited, friends, that people that were riding their bikes along the streets in Iraq, they decided to shoot them dead. Because they made the higher up in the military brass happy about murder. You think you're not accountable for that, Americans? That's what's going on. That's why Donald Trump has just been named a war criminal. Just like his buddy, Mylakowski, who's extorting every move that he makes. Folks, this goes on for 8 minutes. I'm going to take our friend Craig out of respect for our callers, as I always do. Craig, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. What say you, my friend?
I am literally seething about how what's been going on in the Middle East, especially since 9/11, is quote unquote spiritual warfare as an excuse to justify our warmongering. And now apparently some of our commanders have been telling our troops that Trump was actually anointed by Jesus to start this war in Iran.
Yeah, you know what they're doing, Craig, is they're mocking the American people. We've seen Catherine Austin Fitz come out and say, I've never seen this level of mockery towards the American people. And she really started noticing it after this alleged assassination of Charlie Kirk. And none other than Erica Kirk, who's being exposed at every given turn, along with TPUSA, who is imploding today. But she had noticed right away, she used to be a part of the George Bush administration, and she says that the American people are being completely mocked. But I want to say this really carefully, and I want to say it very clearly, that those that mock the living God, I just, you know, they're so wicked, they're so evil, they just think that they can go ahead and blaspheme the name of the Lord. When you see that on the scene and you see men do that, just pay attention to their lives, because it's a matter of time, and it's a short amount of time. And you can put this up against Ecclesiastes 8:11. Yeah. But before they're saved or they're judged, one of the two, they're on that line. That's when they start to mock. Either they get saved dramatically or they get judged in the same way. I'll give you the last word, Craig.
And yet I'm considered the bad guy for even questioning anything of the evangelicals' agenda, including our foreign policy of imperialism. And that's what this is.
Right, you're right. You're absolutely right.
I don't believe anything about these dispensational fatalists. Hard for me to
accept
this as truth.
Hey, listen, Craig, I appreciate you, guy. I appreciate you taking the time to call. I hear you, and I am conveying your information. So thank you for the call, and I look forward to your next one, my friend. And thank you for hanging on, by the way, too. Folks, the wars of the future are being planned here in Israel, said none other than the sodomite Lindsey Graham. Judas himself talking about the wars being planned in Israel.